Free Talk Live. It is your show. You can bring up whatever you want via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features on the site we give away, so enjoy those on us. Again, that is freetalklive.com. As always, a lot to talk about here tonight. You can call in about what you want. In the meantime, we go to things that are kind of interesting to us. Mark, what did you bring in tonight to discuss?
Well, here's an article that's sort of, you know, it's a little slice of life piece, I guess, talking about a woman who apparently didn't give up her bus seat, a black woman, back in the 50s, before Rosa Parks, from the Charlotte Observer. Portland, Maine, more than 50 years after her refusal to surrender her bus seat to a white woman, set the stage for a similar act of defiance by Rosa Parks. Claudette Colvin is finally getting her due as a civil rights pioneer. In March 2, 1955, the 15-year-old schoolgirl from Montgomery, Alabama, was dragged off the bus by police, handcuffed, and jailed. But her act, bold act, drew little support from classmates, many of whom shunned her, or from the city's black leadership. She went to court the following year as a plaintiff in a landmark lawsuit that struck down the illegal underpinnings for segregated buses in the Jim Crow South and ended the bus boycott that kickstarted the civil rights movement. But even then, she won scant recognition and had remained a footnote in history. Author Philip Hose stumbled upon Colvin's story doing research for a book in the role of young people in U.S. history. It took him more than 6 years to track down Colvin, who was living in the Bronx, New York, for a series of interviews that led to his book, Claudette Colvin, Twice Towards Justice, which was released last month. The book, told in part in Colvin's own voice, relates how the daily humiliation of riding the bus to and from Monterey's Booker T. Washington High School fueled her refusal to heed the driver's order to vacate her seat. The 69-year-old, who called the act of defiance a very impulsive act, said she was inspired by figures from her school's Negro History Month. "It was Sojourner Truth pushing me back down that into that seat, saying, girl, you can't get up. And Harriet Tubman, too. Hmm. All those people were in the back of my mind," she said. Pulitzer Prize winner Taylor Branch, whose three-volume biography of King is regarded as a definitive history of the civil rights movement, said Colvin's action was a missed opportunity. People were waiting and hoping and praying for some way to challenge segregation, and they decided she wasn't it, Branch said in an interview. He said it took an extraordinary person like Rosa Parks to galvanize the downtrodden black community to the point where 50,000 riders would boycott the buses for more than a year. After Colvin was arrested and charged with violating segregation laws, disorderly conduct, and assault, of course, disorderly conduct, you knew it, black leaders met with police to try to resolve the case. Among those present were the Reverend Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King, then 26, who had just arrived from Atlanta to become a pastor of the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. The idea of a bus boycott, which King went on to lead, was gaining momentum in the black community, Hose said, but its organizers didn't think Colvin was the one whose case should be used to trigger such a risky campaign. Hmm. "It always gets to the point where she's deemed unacceptable to be the face of the movement," the author said. "She was described as feisty and profane, even though she never used foul language at a time when black leaders were bent on someone who would project an image of impeachable integrity." Hughes suggested that the other factors also may have come into play. Colvin was dark-skinned at a time when fairer skin carried more status among blacks. She also came from a neighborhood...
So she was too black?
That's correct. She came from a neighborhood of unpaved streets lined with shotgun shacks and outdoor privies. So she was from the wrong side of the tracks, too.
Wow. So she was being discriminated against within her own race, for lack of a better term.
Well, she was poisoning the well. To complicate
matters. Not respectable enough.
Apparently. She didn't do it quite right. To complicate matters, Colvin discovered during the ordeal that she had been impregnated by a much older married man. That complicates matters. When the pregnancy was discovered, she was expelled from school. Black churches and community groups raised money to pay for Colvin's appeal. The judge dropped two of the charges but kept the conviction for assaulting officers who drug her off the bus. She was ordered to pay a small fine 9 months after Colvin's arrest. A lighter-skinned department store seamstress named Rosa Parks took her stance, winning a place in history. Colvin was not yet forgotten.
That's amazing.
by members of the civil rights movement in early 56, Colvin's lawyer enlisted the teenager as one of four black female plaintiffs in the lawsuit that challenged the constitutionality of segregated public transportation. The U.S. District Court ruled 2-1 in their favor, a decision that was upheld by the Supreme Court. The long-forgotten case, Browder versus Gale, led to an integration on buses doing for public transportation what the Supreme Court did in Brown versus the Board of Education, Topeka, Kansas, did for education in 1954. But these things didn't work out as well for Colvin, as white resentment about her role in the campaign made it more difficult to get a job. She moved to New York, where her sister was living. She lived there in quiet anonymity, now retired after working as a nursing home aide. Colvin said she harbored no resentment about her lack of recognition, but was disappointed that her story and that of her fellow plaintiffs have gotten the short shrift. She said she was proud to be able to tell her five grandchildren of her accomplishments and believed her sacrifices made life better for them. It was a surprise that Colvin's story had never been chronicled in detail. I hope it makes it impossible to talk about the beginnings of the civil rights movement without really describing what Claudette Colvin did, he said. That's really my own standard for the success or failure of this book. And, you know, when I read this article, I couldn't help but draw parallels to civil disobedience here in New Hampshire. Now, I can't say I'm the biggest fan of civil disobedience here. And one of the
reasons, you're not. You've been quite the critic.
Yep. Yeah, one of the reasons is that, you know, things don't live up to my standards necessarily.
What do you mean by that?
Well, different types of civil disobedience don't necessarily live up to my standards. For instance, Lauren Canario and driving, not driving with a driver's license, Russell Canning also. And, you know, just all the pieces of the puzzle don't seem to fit into my perfect universe. But then I'm reading Miss Colvin's thing here, and I'm thinking, you know, if she'd been older and she hadn't gotten pregnant, which the pregnancy really didn't come around till afterwards, right, if she'd been from the right side of the tracks, her stance was really no different than Rosa Parks. And it's when you read this story in retrospect, 50 years later, more than 50 years later, you kind of get a different feel for it. You know, like now I feel bad that, you know, Miss Colvin didn't get the recognition that Rosa Parks did. I feel like she took the stand before Rosa Parks did. I know that, you know, the 15-year-old schoolgirl probably didn't get a lot of training in civil disobedience.
No, not likely.
I know that Rosa Parks had taken classes on civil disobedience. So, you know, Rosa Parks was coached. This girl was uncoached.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently didn't use any foul language or anything like that, and she got, you know, treated poorly by the police. I don't know about Ms. Parks, and I don't know, you know, whether she was drug off the bus or what her situation was. It seemed a lot harder to treat an old lady like that. You know, and I'm just, I guess I'm left with the civil disobedience thing wondering, maybe all the second guessing is done by a bunch of, you know, line sitters that, you know, I don't know what's going. Don't necessarily know how things are going to go.
Well, I mean, that's the impression I've gotten, that a lot of people are really quick to criticize, but not.
I'll probably continue.
It's fine. I mean, it's an easy thing to do, and I think that to some extent criticism is important. I think it's important for people to hear how they're being received out there, but at the same time, I don't think it should dissuade them from doing it in the future. I think that there's value to it, but I don't think that people should assign too much value to it. You're just talking about one man's opinion of what you've done. And I'm talking about, when I say you, I mean those who have engaged in civil disobedience. So I think that you should continue to criticize where you believe it should be put out there, and maybe they'll hear what you're saying and think, okay, well, I didn't really think too hard before I did this, or maybe that's a decent critique, or that guy's an idiot, I'm not going to listen to a word he says. So let them decide for themselves.
Yeah, I think that I think that's sort of how one has to look at it. You know, I who knows what that pivotal piece is going to be as far as civil disobedience that's going to, you know, make a real difference. And I don't even know how it's going to make a difference. I mean, obviously in Rosa Parks' case, it would seem like they would have wanted to integrate buses, and they were successful. But who knows what's going to happen where?
Well, that's why I say the more we have, the more the better chances that something will happen. Certainly a lot of civil disobedience is going to go unsung, and I don't think everybody should enter into it thinking they're going to be a hero.
No, I wouldn't get into it.
More coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
Now, a reviewing glimpse into the life of one of our most celebrated yet private novelists, John Grisham, author of the masterful new legal thriller,
the associate. What does the future hold for John Grisham? Well, The Associate, his 22nd book, has just published, and we know he's already at work on book 23. We know this because, as a self-described creature of habit, every year he retreats to his office with his aging word processor for some 6 months, fall through winter, and writes 6 hours a day until the next book is done. He serves as the local Little League commissioner and plans to continue in that role, as well as coaching. And, as Grisham says, 10 years from now I plan to be sitting here looking out over my land. I hope I'll be writing books, but if not, I'll be on my pond fishing with my kids. I feel like the luckiest guy I know.
To learn more, visit jgrisham.com. If you thought Mitch McGeer was in trouble in the firm, wait until you meet the associate. Kyle McAvoy is a brilliant young attorney, a rookie associate at the world's largest law firm, but he also has a dark secret, one that falls into the wrong hands. He's coerced into taking part in a scheme that could send him to prison or get him killed, making his first case his last. The Associate, John Grisham at his pulse-pounding, page-turning best. Available now, wherever books are sold.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
When times get tough, we must all decide what's most important in life. At EnduringRose.com, we believe that lasting relationships are what make life most meaningful. Showing our loved ones that we care is what helps us find happiness in an uncertain world. Enduring Rose can help. We have taken real roses, the universal symbols of love, and coated them in eternal and precious 24-karat gold. These roses, forever preserved in either white or yellow gold, will never wither and never die. Unlike traditional roses, they will endure as a timeless symbol of your love. These roses, either singles or bouquets, are sensible and affordable Valentine's Day gifts that will impress and deeply touch that special someone in your life. Show her that your love will weather the storm by giving her a gold-dipped rose from Enduring Rose. We offer military discounts and free shipping on qualified orders. That's E-N-D-U-R-I-N-G, Rose, EnduringRose.com, or call 702-453-7455. That's 702-453-7455.
Welcome to America. It's time for change. The new president is talking about change. Are you talking about change? You know, changing your lifestyle to become more healthy? Well, here's how the staff at Life Change Tea feels. Make the change to be healthy before your body forces you to change. Organ failure, sickness, chemical poisoning, toxins, and much more. They'll force you to change for the worse. A willing change is much better than a change by force. Call Life Change Tea now. 928-308-0408. 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. You've heard it, getthetea.com. Make an investment in your life. Life Change Tea. Oh, and P.S., you'll lose some weight.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever is on your mind via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features on the site we give away, so enjoy those on us, including the bulletin board system. Over 400,000 posts. There's a lot to talk about there. Serious issues to fun stuff. You'll find it all free over at bbs.freetalklive.com. That's bbs.freetalklive.com. This program brought to you by the Free State Project. It is a movement of thousands of liberty-loving people, all to become activists for freedom here in the great state of New Hampshire. And you're invited to be a part of it. Head over to freestateproject.org to learn more about the Free State Project and learn about the upcoming Liberty Forum happening in less than a month's time in Nashua, New Hampshire's Crown Plaza Hotel. It's going to be the biggest liberty-oriented convention you've probably attended, with huge names like Glenn Jacobs, you might know him as WWE's Kane, Richard Heller from the Heller versus DC gun case, from the 2008 summer term for the Supreme Court. Also, Dr. Mary Ruart, the author of Healing Our World, she'll be speaking. And so many other big-name speakers in the Liberty Movement, plus hundreds of liberty-loving individuals that are going to be hanging out and socializing, networking, throwing after-hours parties, and it is just a great, good old time. Panel discussions, speeches, keynotes, and more. And head over to freestateproject.org/libertyforum to get signed up and use our discount code, which is 2009FTL. That's 2009FTL. For 10% off at freestateproject.org/libertyforum. We continue here. Take your phone calls about whatever you want, starting with Dave in the People's Republic of Somewhere. Dave, you're on Free Talk Live. Dave, are you there, sir? Dave going once. Dave going twice. Let's try Gil in Texas. Gil, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello there.
Well, fuck me.
Whoa, you can't say that on the air. Gotta go. I mean, was that Dale or Gil? I don't know, but let's take whoever's next. Maybe Eric in Texas.
No, this is Gil.
Okay, Gil. Sounded like Dave was a little upset there, and we accidentally, I don't know what happened.
I'll get to what I put on the menu, but I guess nothing will happen until folks start donning their Ziva Vendetta costumes and really getting out there and mounting together.
You're saying nothing's going to happen?
Change will happen until we'll have some groups like in the movie Ziva Vendetta.
Well, that would certainly result in some significant change. I don't know if we're going to need quite that many people to make it happen. The V for Vendetta movie, quite a powerful ending. I don't know if we should get into the details about it, but
sure.
It did involve a lot of people getting together and standing up and hitting the streets.
Well, that was Britain, and Britain is now completely, you know, under the eye of Big Brother over there. From what I understand, there's a camera on every street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My call was about this media hype over 1549. Now, I'm not going to hold a candle to the pilot or the crew that pulled, but you can see a soberness in the captain that he really he's welcoming all this exposure. I mean, every time you look up, he's on all the networks. But you can get the feel that he really doesn't want to be put up on this pedestal. And, you know, a hero is someone that people look to, while a saint is someone that walks in dark places himself a lot, not drawing any, you know, attention to himself. So I really think that you have to really give the man points for just wanting to be an ordinary person trying to do the right thing. And I think,
oh yeah, isn't he just a guy who was doing his job? Does that make him heroic?
That's not what the media wants to portray him as.
You
follow that?
I see what you're saying. Yeah,
and it's sad that we don't hear about smaller things or more significant things that may have happened, that maybe some of the untold heroes, if you will, that are still on the right side in our government, that work for this country, that bar the doors against all hell breaking loose. And sadly, even is that this will be the top thing till something horrific happens. And yeah, I hate to say it, but I just get the feel that, oh, everything's okay, everything went fine with this, look how great this turns out. You know, when we cry this kind of thing out, you can rest assured the sword of Damocles is about to drop. I'm going to hang up. I really want to hear your caller's views on that. That's my feel of it. I'm sorry. I love the fact that nobody died and got hurt. But the way they're hyping this thing is they're calling for some kind of judgment to come down because they just barely got by.
So
I just get the feel. Huh?
I'm just trying to clarify. What is it you're looking from for the callers to tell you?
I really want to see what their feel of it is. Is that, do they really think that, you know, if we cloned a million of these men like the captain, that this country would be safe, that everything would be fine in the airways of this country? And I just feel that the sword of Damocles is going to come down. They're hyping this thing that, look how beautiful this turned out. And you can see the soberness in him. It's just, you know, I wasn't through when the plane crashed. I still had to get the people out. You know, it's just like he's saying, we diverted this one. But he can't say that because of the exposure he's getting. He don't want to take that kind of heat. and they're putting up there, and he has to represent what they're portraying him as. But you can almost feel like there's a kind of, I don't want to say melancholy darkness to him, but yet and still it was a pseudo-tragedy. And they're not focusing on that. They're focusing completely on this miracle on the Hudson. Y'all want to hear what the callers think? Bye.
Okay. Well, thank you for the call tonight, Gil. Appreciate hearing from you. 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. Honestly, I don't watch the news, so I haven't really been paying attention to this story. I mean, I know it happened.
I've seen the captain. I didn't necessarily get the same feeling that Gil did out of it, but I probably haven't seen it as many times as he has either. It sounds like he's been studying the man. It obviously does point out some flaws in the system that we have there, and I think that I think we'd have a better system if we didn't have just the government running it.
Let's continue with your phone calls and go to Dave in the People's Republic of Somewhere. I think we had some phone trouble before, Dave. Are you there?
Hey, have you got me now?
Yes. Go ahead, sir. What's on your mind tonight?
Okay. Well, I want to talk about air traffic control, but first, I was reading the news tonight, and I think that your doctor took advantage of you, Ian.
What's that supposed to mean?
As far as your vasectomy.
Okay. Why?
It seems there's been a study out that people that use copious amounts of marijuana end up having their testiculars just fall right off from cancer.
Oh, I think I saw something about that. I don't know. Has that been verified, that study, at this point, or is it just yet another study?
Well, I'm thinking it's a government-sponsored study.
Could very well be.
I guess. But anyway, back to this.
I don't know if I would trust marijuana to keep me sterile. I don't know if I trust that one. There's plenty of potheads out there that have fathered children.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you. Anyway, I wanted to talk about this air traffic control over in New York.
Please.
I heard a fellow last week call in. He was an air traffic controller talking about what a stellar job those guys do.
That's right. He was defending his job, sure.
And I've been trying to find out where Empire is as far as air traffic control goes in New York.
Where Empire is?
Yeah, if you listen to the air traffic control tape, the controller gets confused as to where he is when he calls Teterboro. He calls Teterboro and says, "This is Empire." Oh, LaGuardia. So he wasn't even sure where the heck he was at that day. But any other air traffic controllers would like to call in and comment on Flight 52. I think it was an Avianca Colombian jet that crashed, I don't know, maybe around T-90 or something.
Well, to be fair to the guy that called, I'm sure there are air traffic controllers that do their darndest to do a good job. And
none of them want to see any crashes on their watch.
On the other hand, some of them are probably a little lazier than they might otherwise be in a true competitive free market environment. Dave, thanks for the call. More on the way. You can take control. This is Free Talk Live.
This year, many of us will have to make the tough decision on what to cut back on and what's essential as we prepare for an uncertain future. In these troubled times, one of the most important things your family can have is good health. Some of the contributors to poor health are parasites, viruses, toxins, and heavy metals. It's a documented fact. 80% of all Americans and 85% of people around the world suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection. Now you can fight internal parasites, heavy metals, and high cholesterol naturally and safely by mixing fossilized phytoplankton powder, also known as FPP, with your favorite beverage once a day. FPP is now available to you from freshwaterorganics.com. A 2-month supply starts at just $17. FPP is so affordable, you can't afford to do without. Visit freshwaterorganics.com or call them toll free at 888-949-3570. That's 888-949-3570.
It's a new year full of uncertainties. People are being laid off in record numbers. The price of food continues to rise, and the economy continues to falter. You know that you need to prepare, and maybe you've been putting it off, but the time to act is now. That's why you need to visit Organicaseed.com. At Organicaseed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds and survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Imagine growing your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
How many times have you been in the dark looking for a flashlight, only to find the one that you have is broken, the batteries are dead, or it's just not bright enough? You need the Packlight. The Packlight is the longest-lasting flashlight on the market and simply snaps onto any 9-volt battery and uses two high-powered LED lights. It's small enough to carry in your pocket, car, garage, and home. The Packlight can survive severe impact, be frozen solid, and still work flawlessly. The Packlight is so durable, soldiers overseas rely on them, and has been featured in the New York Times and Backpacker magazine. The Packlight comes with a 25-year warranty, and prices start at just $12.99. To learn more and see for yourself just how incredible this small flashlight can be, visit 9voltlight.com. That address again is 9voltlight.com. Or call us today at 877-715-4448. That's 877-715-4448.
You don't have to be in the military to enjoy military surplus savings. Right now at MaineMilitary.com, you'll find savings on the top must-have military supplies. M10 gas masks for $12 or 3 for 30. Gas mask hoods, $4 or 3 for 10. Mask filters, $6 or 3 for 15. Save big on British chemical suits, only $12. Israeli gas masks, $20. Trigger finger gloves, $5 a pair or $36 a dozen. Snowshoe binding for $8 or $48 a dozen, and so much more. Even hard-to-find surplus items, all at surplus prices. Preparing the whole family has never been so affordable at MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com, one of the last surviving true surplus stores in the country. Shop now at MaineMilitary.com or call 877-608-0179. That's 877-608-0179 today.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website. FreeTalkLive.com is the place to go. The features on the site, they're completely free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's FreeTalkLive.com. And by the way, those features do include archives, so if you missed a moment of the show, just click and download. They're right there on the front page for your downloading convenience. Have the stories of civil disobedience here in New Hampshire touched, moved, and inspired you, but you're unable for whatever reason to be involved? Well, now you can. The Civil Disobedience Evolution Fund at cdevolution.org allows you to care for these brave men and women by financially supporting them while they face down the organizations that operate through violence and coercion. cdevolution.org. That's cdevolution.org. Plus, we'd like to remind you that when you shop at newegg.freetalklive.com for all your computer parts needs, a percentage of your purchase will go to CD Evolution. So a great way to get the shopping done and that you need to do, and at the same time, support CD Evolution. 800-259-9231. We continue with your phone calls. It's Eric in Texas. Eric, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
I'm actually calling about the CD Evolution Fund.
What about it?
I have been very inspired by what's going on there in New Hampshire. And I had an idea over the weekend, so I called Mark today and discussed it with him. And for various legal reasons, we won't be able to branch this idea out too far. But what I'd like to do is institute a bounty for a specific type of activism.
So the idea is you will contribute a certain amount of money and encourage others to contribute money to a particular fund within CD Evolution, and then if someone actually goes ahead and does whatever it is you've specified you would like to see done, then they would collect that bounty. Is that the idea?
Correct. Yeah, because I can't, you know, I'm not in New Hampshire right now, and I can't move for at least a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain things I'd like to see people try.
Great. Can you give us some examples of what you might be, what you have in mind as far as what could be bountiful, I suppose?
So in the next couple of weeks here, as soon as I get my tax return, which has money that does not belong to me in it, I will be sending Mark a check for $100, and that $100 will be earmarked to the first person who is arrested for whatever they do in their normal course of civil disobedience, who insists on pleading no victim. Normally when you're arraigned, they insist that you plead not guilty or guilty.
Or no contest.
Or no contest, and that's all they'll accept.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see somebody insist on pleading no victim.
Okay. So any instance of civil disobedience would be acceptable to you as long as they say no victim in front of the judge?
Right. There has to be a, you know, and I talked to Eric about this, as he said, there has to be a camera in the room. They have to be able to provide video evidence. That way, you know, I mean, the fact is people like to watch these videos of the civil disobedience, especially the courtroom stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have to obviously have some situation where they're in front of the judge.
Hey, I love this idea. This is great. This is, I think, one of the things that we've discussed about with the Civil Disobedience Fund or the Civil Disobedience Evolution Fund, that people will be able to contribute for specific purposes, and that's great. I think it's a great idea.
I would caution here. I'll have the same cautionary conversation I had with Eric, is that if you, for instance, were to say, I'll give $1,000 to somebody who's willing to stand out in some central square in Keene, New Hampshire with a wad of marijuana in their hand. Now, at that point, you would be drawing the wrath of the law upon yourself and upon CD. Because what was the charge that you got?
What do you mean?
What charge did you get there?
Contempt?
No, not the contempt. The one where you're like
the couch.
No, not with the couch. The one where
you
blogged about the guy.
I was not charged with anything.
Well, they threatened it. They considered it, right?
I guess, yeah.
So, well, tell me what the name of that charge is.
I don't have it in front of me.
It's something like, what's that?
Accessory.
And it's something like, encouraging crime or something like that.
Okay. You're saying you shouldn't be specific about it then?
You can't be too specific. In this case, he's not encouraging any crime. He's encouraging a plea.
Got it.
So, you know, that I think is an important distinction.
All right. So
that's the one that I'm putting $100 towards. But what I'd like to see somebody else put money towards is for people who pay their fines in pennies. I think that would be a great one for this because, again, it's not a crime. You're just encouraging a non-violent, totally legal form of activism.
Now, would you be specific to say that the individual would have to conform with all of the rules that the government people would apply to them in order to submit their fine in pennies? Because usually if you go with a stack of pennies, they'll say, well, you need to have those rolled, and you need to have your driver's license written on them, or you need to sign every single roll, or they'll usually have some hoops that they want the penny payers to jump through. Would you insist that they not jump through those hoops, or would you just say any way you pay with pennies is fine?
I personally would say any way you pay in pennies is fine, but, I mean, it would be up to whoever's putting up the money on that one.
Right, you're not putting the money up for that, but you will be contributing $100 for the someone who pleads no victim on an instance of civil disobedience. Great idea.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, anything else you wanted to share tonight?
No, that was it. Thanks, guys.
Cool. Yeah, and, of course, remember you can go over to cdevolution.org and contribute there via PayPal. I think it's only PayPal at this moment. I'm sure eventually as the organization gets a little larger, we'll institute some sort of alternate credit card-y style payment system like we have with AMP. It's just we could probably just take the AMP system when it's finished and copy it over to CD Evolution.
With the paying in pennies, it would seem like one thing that you could do, perhaps bring a camera in order to record the bureaucrats, but when they say, oh, yeah, well, you have to have these rolled, is if you have double the fine, one of them in pennies, one of them in rolls and one without, then you go out to your car, get the rolls, bring them back in, and then you pay in rolls of pennies, and they still have that way they can't catch you with, the next, oh, well, now they have to have your driver's license on. Well, you just said is all they had to be was rolled.
Yeah, and if you catch them on video, that might be a good requirement, too, because if you're going going to qualify for these things, you may have to have documentation. So having a video footage of you going and paying in pennies would be ideal.
And I don't see how they can require a driver's license number or anything like that.
They can demand anything they want.
It's legal tender. I really don't see how they can do that.
Well, I'm with you, Mark, and maybe somebody will challenge this, and we'll find out what happens. So cdevolution.org, making more disobedience possible. 800-259-9231. We continue with Paula in Florida. Paula, you are on Free Talk Live. Hello, Paula. Paula in Florida, going once. Paula in Florida, going twice. Do we have Paula? She's not there. All right, so 800-259-9231. As we continue here with a little something from our buddy Dale over at anarchyinyourhead.com. The slave test. Where he asks, are you a slave? Recently, I wrote about how governments manufacture and evoke powerful symbols to essentially brainwash us and keep us obedient. I used an analogy of similar tactics in the past to efficiently maintain the obedience of household slaves. I have a friend who claims my language is far too strong. He says I overuse words like violence and slave to artificially infuse my arguments with emotion. Well, I'm just talking about governments.
Here's one thing that people will often say as an argument to the gun in the room. Well, the government isn't actually pointing a gun at you. Stop saying that they're pointing a gun at you.
I got that one this weekend.
And, you know, I do understand they're not physically pointing a gun at you. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily. It seems to hang people up. And if it hangs people up, you should look for something else. But the fact is, they're threatening violence.
Oh,
absolutely,
yeah.
Threatening violence. And there's no denying that. You may not like it. It's just the truth.
Did you hear my call to talk back this weekend?
I didn't. Let me go on here. Now, I don't know about this date. I haven't managed to get a straight answer to this particular question, but I believe in this state and every other state that if you walk into a bank and say, give me the money, that you're going to be charged with armed robbery. Do you understand?
There's a good chance. I don't know. If you don't actually have an arm, if you don't have some sort of weapon.
If you go in with a toy gun, do you think you'll get charged?
Yeah.
I know somebody who was. And do you think if you go in and point your finger through your coat pocket you will?
If you lead them to believe that you're armed.
Right. If you lead them to believe. Now, the tone of your voice, I believe, can be construed as simply armed robbery. And in the same way, just a government bureaucrat demanding a fine is, in fact, a threat of violence.
We'll come back with more and the slave test. It's your show. You bring up anything. Free Talk Live.
I'm Todd Davis, CEO of LifeLock, and what I'm about to tell you is true. My real Social Security number is 457-55-5462. You may think I'm crazy, but I know my identity is safe. At LifeLock, every member is covered by our $1 million total service guarantee.
Every 3 seconds, someone's identity is stolen. It's not just the money that's being stolen. It's your reputation, your credit, and your valuable time to fix the huge mess. At LifeLock, we aim to prevent identity theft before it happens, and if anything happens while you're a client of LifeLock, you'll be protected by our exclusive $1 million total service guarantee. With LifeLock, you'll also see a huge reduction in junk mail and pre-approved credit offers. Call 1-800-603-6487 right now and get 30 days of LifeLock for free. Protect yourself and your family from identity theft. And when you call right now, get 30 days free. Call now, 1-800-603-6487. That's 1-800-603-6487. Again, 1-800-603-6487.
Have you ever wanted to generate your own supply of electrical power? If so, this is going to be the most important message you will ever hear. Solar-powered generators are now available from Solutions from Science, one of GCN's oldest and most trusted sponsors. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. Unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces electricity for free. It's like having an electric power plant running quietly in your own home. Run sump pumps, shortwave radios, computers, and even keep food from spoiling. Whether it's hurricanes, ice storms, brownouts, or blackouts, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. When the power goes out, you'll be ready with a solar-powered generator from Solutions from Science. Go to mysolarbackup.com and get off the grid today. That's mysolarbackup.com today. Or call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Don't wait. Call today.
Rough roads might be ahead for the economy, but your vehicle doesn't have to experience them. Can't afford a new vehicle or even an expensive repair? Now you can take care of your vehicle with Protecta Engine Oil Booster by SFR, which is a fully synthetic oil booster. Protecta Engine Oil Booster fortifies your motor oil to help your engine last longer. Protecta Engine Oil Booster has been tested by independent laboratories and proven in over 1 million vehicles worldwide. We'll give you enough Protecta Engine Oil Booster for 5 complete oil changes for only $22.95. That's enough for 2 vehicles for up to 1 year. Start taking care of your vehicle today. Take advantage of this limited time offer and receive free shipping. Protecta Engine Oil Booster is the last defense against engine wear. Go to oilcompanysecret.com or call 1-888-873-7371. That's oilcompanysecret.com or 888-873-7371. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Call 888-873-7371 or visit oilcompanysecret.com.
Hi, this is Steve Shank. eFoods does it again. The 3-day responder provides one adult with 3 days worth of healthy, delicious, easy fix food. The price of the 3-day responder is almost ridiculous at $21.95 for actually 12 meals plus snacks. When you taste the food in the 3-day responder, you'll understand why families trust eFoods Direct to provide healthy, delicious food for every need. Whether you're hunting, playing, or responding to an emergency, the food in the 3-day responder is easy to fix and ready to go. Food is an everyday need. The 3-day responder is for the time when food should be the last thing you have to worry about. The 3-day responder, $21.95. Sometimes the best things do come in the smallest packages. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, you can bring up what you want. Just dial toll-free 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website. FreeTalkLive.com is the place to go. All the features we give to you. Now, if you like the show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can learn how to do so by going to promote.freetalklive.com. That's promote.freetalklive.com. A whole list of things you can do to help get Free Talk Live into more ears around the world. So again, promote.freetalklive.com. We'll continue discussing the slave test, but just as an aside, I had mentioned that I was going to talk about something I saw in a John Stossel special. I actually mentioned it back on the Saturday show, and I spaced out, and I didn't discuss it. But we were talking about the air traffic controllers and being bureaucrats and how it is that they're just not as, even if they're doing their best at keeping people safe in the skies, they're just not doing as good of a job as they could be doing in a competitive marketplace, where there, say, is another airport in town that they might be competing for jobs with. But what I wanted to point out was it was John Stossel Goes to Washington. It's the name of the special, and it was produced, I think, probably around 2000 or 2001. Anyway, in that special, John Stossel looks at private solutions, private versions of government programs, basically. So he found an airport where the airport is not run by the government, and he went in to see what their air traffic control room looks like compared to a government air traffic control room. And some of the differences were stunning. The government's air traffic control room was still using vacuum tube technologies.
In when, 2000?
In, yeah, the year 2000.
Holy crap.
Also, one of the most notable things that was in there was the way they would pass information to one another was on the little rail system. They had these little sliding rails where they'd attach a note to something, and then they'd just sort of slide it toward the direction that it needed to go, toward the employee that was across the room or something like that. Whereas in more modern systems, you would have sort of an instant messaging system with computers. So, I mean, it was just like night and day. It was as though the old air traffic control room was circa 1960, and it was the year 2000. So I can understand that even if you put the best air traffic controller in that work environment, he can only be so effective if he's using tools and technology that are older than he is. And that's the one example from John Stossel Goes to Washington of just how dramatically different dramatic of a difference there was between a private air traffic control booth and one run by the government. So all that aside, we continue with the slave test from our friend Dale over at anarchyinyourhead.com, talking about how one of his friends was criticizing him for using words like violence and slave far too often in his discussions about the government. And he says, the friend critiqued me for artificially infusing my arguments with emotion when I'm talking about governments. I can't really recall his exact argument, but I think it amounted to, nuh-uh. But I thought of a way that he and others who agree with his assertion could prove me wrong. They can take the slave test. And the slave test is very simple and fair. In fact, it places the burden of proof on me. After all, I acknowledge I'm making some pretty strong claims. Are my uses of emotionally charged words like violence and slave actually accurate in the manner in which I use them while describing the nature of governments? So,
right. You know, I've found that people have a tendency to, when you talk like this, they have a tendency to latch onto one word. And rather than the sentence that you've given, for instance, I called in on TalkBack not too long ago when you were in jail, actually. Mm-hmm. And I said that, essentially this was an ego thing between you and the judge, and that these two men and their little dispute are holding us all hostage. Well, we have to pay for the dispute because you guys were disputing, you know, in the courtroom that we all have to pay for. Some guy called in and said, we're not hostages. Okay. All right. Okay, so you're not being held by a guy with a gun in the same room as you,
yeah,
skulking about, peeking out the window. However, you try not paying for it, Buster.
And see what happens.
Yeah, see what happens.
And so that's kind of the basis of the slave test here. Dale says, let's consider what it really means to be a slave. A slave is someone who must obey the orders of his or her master under the threat of violent punishment. So we can actually address both of my oft-used words in one experiment. Also, I acknowledge that slavery requires such abuse on an institutionalized level. If a man threatens you with violence if you don't hand over your wallet, I would immediately concede the term slave is inappropriate. You're just a victim of an isolated violent crime. To achieve the status of slave, you'd need to be continually under the threat of violence to produce for and obey your masters. After all, the common street thug that robs you at gunpoint or knife point is not likely to come back at that same time next week and do it all over again. That's just not how they tend to work.
Yeah.
An important part of the slave test is to avoid engaging in any aggressive behavior that might actually justify violent intervention. If you attack someone, people are likely to intervene on behalf of the victim and might even make some sort of demand like, stop attacking that helpless elderly woman. And they might even back up the demand with a threat of violence. I wouldn't consider such an example as evidence that you're a slave. So for the test to be accurate, you must avoid any such acts of aggression. Bearing that in mind, the slave test is incredibly simple. Just act like a free person. Go about your own business, doing as you please, violating no one, and politely decline to obey any orders. For instance, if someone claims you must produce for them on a regular basis, you know, by taking 15, 20, 25, 30% of your income, simply decline their demands.
This is where this is where it has a tendency to fall apart.
What does?
The idea of slavery. Because the fact is, you don't have to work. A slave has to work. Whereas,
you do if you want to pay your bills and keep food on your family's table.
You do if you want to keep the house that you live in and the way that you've become accustomed. However, the government has set out I don't know what the term, we'll use slave. They've set out a bad slave program for people that are poor slaves to, get fed and have places to live and things like that. You understand? You don't have to work. If you do work.
So you're saying the choice is to work or be a welfare queen?
Correct.
That's presuming you can get welfare, which in order to do that, you also have to subvert yourself to the system.
Sure. I'm just saying that the fact is you don't have to work. And that's the one little bit of this that is exactly right.
I think you're wrong on that. When you choose to work for somebody, you're choosing to work for that individual. The state steps in and demands your money.
Oh, they do.
Right.
Right, right. I'm not saying that the state doesn't demand a portion of your money if you do work. If you do work, they steal from you. And, so as far as the terminology slave, it's not exactly like what a slave is in most people's minds.
I see where you're coming from, but to me it is. Anyway, if you get a regular bill in the mail for anything you didn't explicitly request, send it back with a polite statement that you choose not to pay. If, while driving safely without causing any accidents or harm, you get a blue light signal requesting you pull over, give a polite wave and continue about your business. If, after not paying one of those regular bills, you've received a printed order to show up at a certain location at a certain time, politely decline. If a man orders you to get in the back of his locked car, assert your freedom and politely decline. If you're able to peacefully go about your personal activities and politely decline to obey all orders, and if you are not subjected to violence for disobeying, then congratulations. You've passed the slave test. You're a free person. So, how many people will be able to pass this test? Not too many.
Okay, so a serf is bound to the land, and therefore anything, a portion of anything they produce is given to the king in order for protection, essentially.
Okay.
A serf could choose, if they I suppose if they wanted to, that they could wander off and go live in the woods as a friar if they chose to do that. But they could choose not to work and not produce any food. They would die. They could choose to do that. And then in which case, when the king's men come around, they say, there's no food here. They likely wouldn't have been run through with a sword.
Okay.
It's possible they would have, but, you know, likely they wouldn't have. So I think that, like, in some ways, serf is also a good description.
You're saying you'd like serf better than slave?
It's in some ways it fits that definition.
How about neo-slave? Does that make you feel better?
How about neo-serf?
I think either one is fine.
Well, slave's more charged, serf's less charged. Mm-hmm.
But people don't really know what serfs are, really, do they?
They know that it's not good.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I was having this conversation with, you mentioned Talkback, which is the local talk show here in, one of the local talk shows here in Keene, and liberty activists in the area make a point of listening to it and, better yet, picking up their phones and calling in, making pro-liberty points. And this particular weekend's edition was quite mind-boggling. I highly recommend you go to freekeene.com and download the archive, and you'll be able to hear me attempt to hold these politicians' feet to the fire on the issue of government violence. And the fact that there is a gun in the room, and the fact that there is violence backing up everything that the government demands. And it will amaze you to listen to the mental gymnastics that these women go through to try to avoid connecting their precious government to violence. They actually at one point say that, oh, yeah, that's aggressive, but it's not violent. They actually claim that there's some difference between aggression and violence. It's amazing. Check it out over at freekeene.com. Hour 2 is coming up. You can bring up whatever you want. This is Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson introducing a new way to listen to GCN on your cell phone. If you own a smartphone like BlackBerry, iPhone, or Arnold G1, there's a free application called Flycast. Simply download, install, and within minutes, you'll be listening to your favorite GCN shows from the convenience of your phone. Go to GCNlive.com, download the Flycast application, and begin listening in a whole new way. The place to go to is GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com, application Flycast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.